Well, I do trust you have your Bible tonight. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. In the first, 12 verses of this book, if we put verses 1 and 2 with it, because I believe they do, we can have fellowship with the Father because He is illuminator. He's lit up the way for us. And that fellowship reveals itself, that fellowship with God reveals itself, I believe, in three ways as we look at that chapter. One is fellowship with the brethren. Another is confession of sin. Another is conviction by the truth of God's Word. Now, the rest of this book, I believe, deals a great deal with the assurances of our membership in the family of God. And we can also use these as a test of the realness of our salvation. Before we read tonight, let's seek the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this book that we have, this Bible. Lord, we thank You that it's the final authority. We thank You that we can stand upon it knowing that Your Word is true from cover to cover. Lord, I even like what's on the cover, Holy Bible. We pray that You might bless and work in our hearts tonight, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1, if you will notice that, says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Praise God, we have one that's standing in our corner for us. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now notice verse 3, and He says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, He is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. For his name's sake I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Thank God for the Word of God. We will deal probably with more verses than that. But I'd like for us to stop and consider. As we looked in the first few verses and read there, we noticed something. He says we can know Him, or we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Let's understand tonight. I believe there's a difference between the security of the believer and the assurance of the believer. We can have security because we can go to the Word of God and we can find the Word of God telling us if we've believed, He saves. Amen? We have that. That's secure. That is steadfast because it's wrapped up in the person of God. He's the keeper of it. However, there is a problem, and that problem is that many times you and I, though we know what it says, we don't have that assurance. No doubt that many, if not most in this room, at some time wondered, was I real that day I made a profession? Was it a profession or a real possession? Did I really accept Christ? And I believe some of those things come upon us because, quite frankly, what he's telling us here is not being accomplished in our lives. So we look here and he says, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Thank God today that this is a very clear matter. One who keeps his commands is one who knows the Lord. We know him if we keep his commandments. One who doesn't keep his commandments evidently doesn't know him. Again, let's understand our salvation is not based upon works. We're talking about assurances here, how we can know him. And he says, I know him, or verse 4, he saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Keeping the commands of God is going to bring about a perfection, a maturity in our lives. Thank God that we can grow in him. Amen. We can understand him greater. We can depend upon him greater. I was thinking today a great deal about this last year. Yesterday, I had to go pick some things up over and way out in West Omaha. Matter of fact, just a few doors from the Monona Rehab Center where I stayed, I think about 5 weeks total. And I thought, I want to go in and see those folks because some of them are very special to me. And there was two that were that worked with me as far as taking care or helping me with my physical therapy. One of them has since moved on, is at the University of Nebraska Med Center, and so I think it's here, but the other one was there, and got to spend a little time and talk to her and just say thank you for what you've done. And so I walked around a little bit, and so I was thinking about some of the things that took place while I was there, University Hospital, Bergen Mercy, even Uptown Mercy Hospital. And one of the things that came to my mind was, God has a great way to bring humility into our lives. And I don't know how to say this without saying it really crudely. You know, once you've had your bottom wiped by about every nurse in the hospital, you know that you're not what you thought you were. And I think real growth as a Christian is learning that we are not just necessarily nothing, but he's everything in our life. I've heard it said, and I've used the same thing. Moses, the first 40 years, found out he was somebody. The second 40 years in the desert, he discovered he was nobody. But the greatest part is the last 40 years when he realized God is everybody. In other words, his whole life surrounded with him. And so we find here there is maturity, there is a perfection that takes place. I understand, and I'm thankful for tonight, God sees us as perfect, but God's trying to make us perfect too. I tease Doc once in a while because you ask him how he is, and he says, well, I'm perfect. And I said, I'd like to get a second opinion from your wife. And as of yet, Dee has not concurred with his conclusion. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Listen, if we're living in one, we are abiding in him, then we're going to be walking in him, are we not? We're going to have the right direction. We're going to be going in that way. John 15:10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. By the way, this is not a new commandment. The matter that we ought to love one another. We find that it's revealed to us by the light, really. It says in verse number 8, it says, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And you and I tonight, we have the marvelous privilege of being able to love as God did. I find something that's rather interesting. A son who knows his father loves him naturally wants to obey him. Will he mess up from time to time? Oh, yeah. But he wants to. And if we understand tonight how much the Heavenly Father loves us, we want to obey him. I don't believe Jesus ever struggled at keeping his Father's commands because he sincerely and wholeheartedly wanted to keep them. How can we have the assurance of salvation? Well, we find out what God wants us to do and we're willing to do it without complaining and griping and trying to find another excuse. And how important it is that we understand it's not by works, it's not by the commands we get saved, but it does show us, to us personally, that hey, we are. Verse number 9, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is where? In darkness, even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Our assurance is not only in our relationship to our Father, but also to our brothers in Christ. Love for the brethren, I believe, is a sign of the reality of salvation in our lives. And oftentimes we find that there are those who say they know the Lord Jesus, but they would rather be around the world's crowd than around God's crowd. Now we learn also from this particular text, there are different levels of maturity. Notice he talks about, I write unto you children, he says, I write unto you fathers, I write unto you young men. And for every one of us, there's levels whereby we grow in the Lord. He speaks of all Christians, I believe. First of all, he talks about children, those who are born ones. As their basis of fellowship in relation to him is the forgiveness that they've received from God. The mature, they are mentioned. It's interesting to me. He says, I write unto you fathers, verse 13, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. The key of their maturity is given here. They have known. They have spent day after day with him. It's become second nature to them. And they've matured. The young men are said to have overcome the wicked one. And the reason is they have abided, they have had their abode in the Word of God. We learn something very heart-wrenching in many respects as we go to verse number 15. I'm kind of skipping a little bit this night, but notice what it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, what is the world? Notice verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We find that you and I, when we love God and put him first, there's not going to be a love for the world. One who loves the world rather than the brethren, I don't believe has the real love of the Father in him. What do we mean by the world? Well, we're not talking about the creation, but we're talking about the evil of mankind. We're talking about the direction that things are going. The last 2 days, I've taken time with our young people to tell them, as we went to Romans chapter 1, how important it is for them to realize they are living in some very difficult times, and it's not going to get any better. And we've got to the point now that guys don't know they're guys, they think they're girls, and we've got girls that don't think they're girls, they think they're guys. And God just said he gave them over to do that which wasn't convenient. And they're going to have to deal with some of that far more than you and I have had to deal with it. But what's the problem that we find amongst Christians? Many times they're loving those kinds of things in the world, and it supersedes their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there things out there that glitter greater in your mind than it does the Lord? I was reading today some excuses that people give for not, going to church, dropping out, and so forth. And most of it had to do with the fact that they didn't want to give themselves completely over to the Lord because they thought it was going to take away their fun. It was going to take away their enjoyments. And after all, if they did that, they might end up on the mission field somewhere and not spend any holidays with their families. And really a convoluted idea that many of them had. The love of the world, by the way, is temporary. Following God's eternal. It lasts for all of eternity. We find there are many pretenders. that are actually against Christ. And go down to verse number 18 with me. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time. Antichrist, against God. And there are many of those out there. Now, notice verse 19, I'll put it together with it. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I believe the early Christians knew that those who were genuinely saved wanted to be in attendance with them. They wanted to have that fellowship with them. When you live in a world that is rocked by the things that they were dealing with in those days, and even the things we're dealing with in our day, we want to have that time we get apart. And we can see our brethren. And we can have that blessed fellowship, that encouragement that comes as we behold each other. You may not know this, but when I see you walk in this building, my heart does some flip-flops. Not literally, I don't need it doing that. But it excites my soul. I think, oh wow, amen, they're here tonight. They're here today. And God must be working their lives or wants to, and at least they're listening a little bit. And that's an exciting thing. What really worries a pastor, you could talk to Brother Todd and him after the service, I think he'd tell you the same thing after years in the ministry. What really worries is when you do not see people in the services. And many times, the reason for that is they were not of us. Never had the love of God, never knew their love for brethren, and it was just a matter of going through the pretense, going through the motions of it. But thank God for the reality that we have of Him. Let's understand tonight, I'm not going to go any farther, we kind of divide up here shortly, but let's understand tonight, there's a difference between security of the believer and assurance. In a few weeks, we will go to camp. There's something that happens every year at camp. And that is there's some teenagers that walk down the aisle, that walked down the aisle last year and walked down the aisle the year before. I'm not condemning that practice, but there's a reason that takes place. They do not have the assurance of their salvation because they have not been living it. Now, it may be they haven't been living it because they don't have it. But maybe they have allowed the glitter of this world to outshine the things of God. And so we find sometimes these things going over and over again. And we see that with adults some too. But by the way, teens, you got to go down, get down there and get it straight this time. Amen? How we need to realize and have that assurance in our soul. How do you know? You have a love for God. How do you know you got a love for God? You want to do what He says to do. If you love your parents, you do what they say to do. And then there's a love for the brethren. A love to be around those. I can see it in some of your faces when you walk in. There's that smile. There's, yeah, I'm here. And not like a little child. I saw one come in the other day, and I don't remember who it was. One of our little ones came in. It was like, I'm here. Aren't you happy? But it's, praise God, I'm here with some people. Love of the brethren. Marvelous as it is. Amen. And I love to see that interaction that takes place and that blessedness that is involved there. Amen? Alrighty.